Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, many Americans likely remember the protests back in 2018 against the Trump administration's zero-tolerance family separation policy. Remember, it separated immigrant children from their parents while in custody. Perhaps for many Americans, that was the first time they even thought about immigrant detention. But as our next guest writes in their new book, federal immigration detention facilities have been used since 1891.
Go ahead, Carol. Every day in the heart of the self-described greatest democracy on earth, people are incarcerated without charges for indefinite periods of time under horrific conditions and without basic constitutional protections. This is the hidden world of immigrant detention centers in the United States.
Anna Raquel Mignon is associate professor in the Department of History at Stanford University, also the author of the new book, In the Shadow of Liberty, The Invisible History of Immigrant Detention in the United States. Anna joins us from San Francisco. Professor, good to have you with us this afternoon. Can you talk a little bit about how this got on your radar? I repeat for many Americans that probably were not aware of even immigrant detention centers until just a few years ago.
Yes, thanks for bringing this up. When I was writing a book, my first book that was published in 2018 on the history of Mexican immigration, and I realized we knew very, very little about immigration detention. I was doing all this research and realized how little we knew about it. And then, of course, in 2018, Trump began the family separation policies. And I wanted to understand how it was that we had come to a point where this was not only imaginable, but feasible. And so I went about and conducted this research that demonstrated that the problems of immigration detention span for a much longer period of time than the Trump administration and encompass much more than family separation.
How did this become such a part of our history? As you said, it's not just something of the last few years. It's much more embedded. How did this happen? How is it allowed to continue to happen?
Immigration detention first began in 1891. And since its beginnings, there has been terrible abuse. And there's one reason why this is possible. When the Congress first imagined that people could be detained in federal detentions in the United States, it passed this law that we now know as the entry fiction, whereby those who were stopped at the border, the people who were coming into the United States and were stopped at the border, they could be held in the country in detention centers within the United States, but they were to be imagined to be elsewhere. The detention centers were on the US map, but the entrance held within them were assumed to be outside the United States. And since they were not here, they did not deserve the rights that the United States gave. And as such, they are not afforded basic constitutional rights, even when they're at the hands of the US state.
Professor Mignon, can you explain the role of private prisons in all of this? I mean, this is Bloomberg. We follow the money here. Talk a little bit about that.
And we've been talking about private prisons, I feel like, for decades, right, in terms of the money in this.
Absolutely. It's a huge problem. Over 90% of all immigrants are detained in for-profit corporations. In fact, the history of detention centers and the for-profit prison system are very much intertwined. The first private prison was a detention center. That occurred it first opened its doors in 1983 to hold immigrants. And since then, the for-profit prison system has only expanded to now hold 90% of all immigrant detainees and over 8% of the population at large. And there is much, much money to be made on this.
You tell it through very individual and personal stories over the decades. The importance in doing that, of giving actually names to the faces, because I do feel like, you know, we're a data-driven company. The world is very data-driven. We get lost in these big numbers and these kind of 10,000, you know, feet views. But when you get on the ground and you start to realize these are really individuals with families and they have names and faces, it's really important.
Yeah, so I went about, I conducted over 100 oral history interviews. I read people's memoirs, the letters they sent, legislative reports, and I came to understand the individual lives of those who were held behind bars simply for being immigrants. And I wanted to tell a human story that, yes, told us about our changing immigration system, told us about the changing detention system, how it became intertwined with the prison detention system, but also that told us about the intimate lives and experiences of those who were being held in our nation's detention system. Like, how was it like? How did they experience it? Why did they come? What happened because they were incarcerated in these sites?
Who has been held in these sites in the last 150 years changed? That is my question, Professor, I guess, is really, who is emigrating from where and immigrating to the United States over that period of time? Because I think that tells a very important story about the American fabric.
Absolutely. So the first, the first people who were excluded from the United States were primarily Chinese immigrants. Only very few Chinese immigrants were allowed to come into the country, a very exempt group of Chinese people, after 1882, when Congress passed the Chinese Exclusion Act. So many of the people who were being detained were Chinese migrants, while the government decided whether they could enter the country or not. But soon, Congress realized, you know what, this is not the only group of quote-unquote undesirable people. Let's exclude those we consider to be convicts or likely to become a public charge or quote unquote idiots. So the categories of people who would end up in detention centers was linked to race. And then it also became linked to other groups of people. And it follows our concerns over time. So for example, in 1980, 124,000 people set sail from Cuba to come to the United States. Generally, Americans were very much in favor of Cubans because of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. But as they were setting sail here, Castro announced that they were potential criminals.
Right.
And so, the tension just exploded to hold these people. Who we fear is who becomes incarcerated.
Mm. No.
President Trump decided it was criminals, that Central Americans were criminals. Central Americans are not being held.
We're going to continue this because I'm also thinking about solutions way forward. So we're going to come back with you in just a moment. Ana Raquel Mignon, the new book, The Shadow of Liberty.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Kara Messer and Tim Stenebeck on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
All right, everybody, we want to get back to our conversation. We're talking with Stanford professor Ana Raquel Mignon on their book, In the Shadow of Liberty, The Invisible History of Immigrant Detention in the United States, still with us from San Francisco. Professor Mignon, one thing we want to ask you, and something we've been doing here at Bloomberg, is a lot of polling ahead of the November elections. And what we are finding, and especially in those key swing states, is that voters see the U.S.-Mexico border security issue as a greater priority than the foreign policy crises that are increasingly dominating President Biden's attention. This was according to our latest poll. That was actually in November.
This was a few months ago.
But we know immigration generally is certainly top of mind for voters as they think about the November elections. Having said that, this aspect that you talk about, you know, immigrant detention, is not necessarily a part of the conversation. How do we change this, and why must we change this?
We have to change it because of the abuses that are happening inside. Because when we're saying a group of people can be detained in the United States and have no access to rights, it is like a cancer that can metastasize and spread elsewhere. In other words, American citizens will also start losing their rights because of this. And they already have. Look at the prison system. Nowadays, because of immigrant detention, American citizens are being incarcerated in for-profit prisons. Now, this is a history, and this is something that is happening beyond the public sight, like you said, because prisons and detention centers are both placed in areas that are far from urban hubs and far from the reach of lawyers, citizens who don't know what is happening. Part of the rhetoric that is happening today is around the wall, is around we need to stop immigrants before they even arrive. But we don't know what is happening to those who are being held in these facilities far from the public view.
Are there any politicians in Washington who are talking about this regularly, who are making this an issue, Professor?
Immigration detention is not currently one of the most spoken about issues. There are so many other policies that are coming about, because a lot of what's also happening is people are being detained not only in the United States, but they're being forced nowadays to wait in Mexico for their asylum cases to be adjudicated. So they're living in northern Mexico, which has become in and of itself a form of detention. And we're also not hearing much about that. I think there is so much hysteria around the immigrants who are coming that we are not really hearing, and no one is really talking, including politicians, about what is happening.
Just got about 30 seconds left. Professor Mignon, if there's one thing you could change or one thing to raise awareness, obviously you're doing it with your book, what might it be, just quickly, if you could?
I would say we really spoke out in 2018 against family separation when Trump was separating parents from their children while in detention. And yet detention itself automatically leads to family separation. Family separation occurred before Trump's policy and after. And if we only focus on the zero tolerance policy that Trump implemented, we're missing much of what is happening. It is time that we raise our voices, not just against family separation, but against detention as a whole. Because if not, family separation will continue, as well as the other abuses of the system.
Professor Mignon, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Stanford Professor Anna Raquel Mignon on their book, In the Shadow of Liberty, The Invisible History of Immigrant Detention in the United States.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.